Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
So this is one of my favorite stories going back to, when I was probably 6 or 7 years old. We were watching the Nebraska-Oklahoma game. It was on national TV. And we were sitting around the dinner table. The game happened to be on while we're having Thanksgiving dinner. And I was sitting here. My dad was on the end of the table. My brother Joe was across the way, right straight across from me. Dad was serving up the mashed potatoes. And just as he was doing so, Oklahoma intercepted a pass. And I don't know if they ran back for touchdown, but all I remember is my dad responded, "Oh, pshaw!" Well, he had the spoon in his hand when he did this, and the potatoes just went flying. And next thing I know, I look over and see my brother, and his face is just covered in mashed potatoes. Yes, the vicissitudes of us Husker fans. Anyway, that's one story that we have in our family passed on for many a year and laughed.
Welcome to The Forum, the show where we learn more about Husker Nation one fan at a time by asking them the same four questions. I'm your host, Honky, and I'm here with the nicest darn person that you're going to find on Twitter. No, not Redcast Rob, but with Chaz in SoCal. He has a quote on his description. Says, never be afraid to look foolish in the pursuit of learning. Welcome to The Forum, Chaz in SoCal.
Hey, good to see you guys. How you doing?
Doing good, doing good. And this is, I think, first time Rob and Chaz, you guys had a chance to meet in person. So
it has, and it'll only be for a minute or two, as everyone can see. I am wearing a 311 shirt, so I guess that's sort of Husker related. I don't know if it's Omaha band, but a Grateful Dead hat. So I'm actually just here for a couple minutes because Honky, as everyone knows, you know, you kind of have a resemblance to a certain somebody here in Husker Nation. And so I got you a little something.
So now I think I know what it is. So this is our big announcement. And then Chaz is going
to
have his.
And I want you to open that.
I can guess
Shane
already.
That's from Shane and Laura at Smack and Smooch.
We came
up with this and, you know, we thought this would be perfect for you.
I knew
We got you your own Matt Rule smock. It's official Husker brand Adidas, and it has the Go Big Redcast logo on it. But I figure, you know, we could start whenever I come out to Lincoln, we can start having you wear that around, and we'll just see how many people actually like mistake you for Coach.
Oh my gosh,
that'd be great. I tried to get Coach on here, but apparently he's really busy because I wanted him to give it to you. You know, it's his doppelganger, but he won't return my phone calls or texts or tweets or emails or I think he blocked me.
Well, thank you very much, Rob. And thank you, Shane, as well. And Shane, thank you for the Go Big Redcast hat that you sent as well. This is the first time I'm wearing that.
What is that, a trucker hat? What is that? I like it. Shane, send me one too, please. I would really appreciate if you would send me one because I really like that hat. So,
Well, thank you very much, Rob. I greatly appreciate that.
The two of you have a really good fan forum. I appreciate you, Hunky, and I think it's hilarious how much you actually do look like Coach. And Chaz, man, you are seriously, you are top five follow on Twitter by far. I know what your announcement is. I'm really excited for everyone else to hear about it. It's amazing. So, keep up the good work and I'll see you guys later. Go Big Red.
Sorry, you're leaving, Rob. That's too bad. It'll be fun to chat with you. We'll do it another time.
well, Chaz, before we get to all that, I just want to welcome you, number one. Just welcome to the forum, man. How's it going?
You know, it's going good. It's fine. It's kind of nice to be back in the States.
Yeah, you were in Japan, right, for a couple of months?
Oh, that's a whole funny story about that. You know, we'd planned on being there for 1 month.
Uh-huh.
And we're having such a good time, and there's so much to do. The only reason we're going to be a month is because, you know, with COVID, the restrictions, Japan was still under the heavy COVID restriction. Well, I think it was the October the 11th. I even got something from the Japanese embassy saying that they're dropping the COVID restriction so that people don't need to, the COVID, the requirement, it's related to their visas, because it wasn't just a passport. You also had a visa.
Mm-hmm.
Well, make a long story short, I thought that meant that we were home clear, so we didn't have to come back after 30 days. Well, it didn't work out that way. So, you know, we're supposed to leave like October the 21st. We show up November the 29th, and we show up at the airport, and I'm at the line, and I'm going through customs, and the gal looks at us and said, And they pulled aside. Nope, can't fly out. You're going to have to go through immigration. You're going to have to go to the immigration office tomorrow in Yokohama and talk to them. We ended up going there three times. They're all friendly, great people. Gee, they're really, really wonderful people. Hmm. I love Japan. I love the people in Japan. The country is beautiful. The history, a lot of cool stuff. But anyway, so we didn't finally get back until first day of winter, December the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
We left there the afternoon of the 21st and got here the morning of the 21st.
Wow. Well, we're glad to have you back. Yeah. And I'm glad to have you on the forum. And I know you and I, we're different generations, but I think that we have a lot alike. And I think
I thought so too.
We've chatted on the phone before, just, you know, nothing to do with the podcast. We've had a good time with that. And I think what I like about the fan forum is it's a chance to have these conversations one-on-one. And for the most part, they're positives. The last question, sometimes we get into a little bit of, you know, we get in depth on the future of the team, but really it's intended to be positive. And you kind of came to me and you had this idea that you wanted to promote. And I think you thought that the fan forum was a perfect forum for it. I think this is the chance here. Tell everyone, what have you been doing? And what are you ready to announce tonight? And what are we going to be doing with you here in the future?
Well, it's sort of my present. It's kind of it's what I want to give to Husker fans. I posted a little hint on some of this stuff earlier today. First of all, I like positive. I like fun and positive. If we can't have fun, I don't know why we would be doing this. Mm-hmm. And, I was thinking about, it actually started with your questions. You know, I was working on the same thing in a different forum, different format than what your questions were, which was asking, talk about your favorite memories, talk about, you know, why are you a Husker fan? Just starting to tell stories. And I got to realizing, you know, the best part, in many ways, what I enjoy most, this may be one of your questions. Why are you a Husker fan? Hey, can I jump into it? Because this, one will tell you why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Okay, go for it.
The reason I'm a Husker fan is because of the Husker fans. It's because of the people. It's because of Nebraska. And they're just, they're such great people. They're great fans. They're loyal. They, you know, as I mentioned earlier today, you know, particularly with the portal, the players sort of come and go now, and coaches sort of come and go. But the fans, they're always there. Nebraska fans, Husker Nation, it's just an amazing thing. Well, hearing these stories, like I shared at the beginning of your program tonight, just hearing those stories and sharing stories is that's a gold mine of fun. And so what I've been working on and what I'm announcing tonight is we have created, I guess I have, but created something called Husker Stories. Huskerstories.com. And Husker Stories are the stories of Husker Nation, the stories of Husker fans. They don't need to be life stories. All they are the little vignettes, the little episodes, like I shared with the mashed potatoes. There's another one I shared with about meeting Zach Taylor for the first time. I put this on a video to show you how easy these are to make and how much fun they can be to make and to share. Mm-hmm. And how this was in Colorado, and we met. It was at an event there, and at the end of the end of the event, I talked with Zach Taylor. I said, "Have you ever thought about going into coaching?" This is actually a true story. I said, "Have you ever thought about being a coach?" And he was kind of dismissing of it. I think he was hoping to go into the NFL at that point. But again, those are mm-hmm. the stories. Just so what Husker Stories is it's a meeting place. It's a community where people can start sharing their stories. They can be stories like there's a couple, well, you know this one, of how I met my wife, or a great story. They can be romance stories. They can be, in many cases, they're going to be funny stories. Might be my earliest memory as a Husker fan. Might be, I remember taking my son to Fan Day, and when he lit up, when he saw his favorite player. Or I could tell you a story if I get time before the night's up. I might tell you one about the hat that I usually see me wearing. That was given to me by a Husker fan at a Husker game. The first and only Husker game I've ever been to, actually in Memorial Stadium in Lincoln.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was given to me. It was 95 degrees. And the gal who gave it to me, see, here we go. This is why these stories are so fun. The gal that gave it to me, we had bought their tickets. They had two, it was Idaho Vandals. And they did, it was, you know, it wasn't a big game for them. And so we, what's that called you when you get the tickets ahead of time?
You know, will call, not will call, but
well, you know, you're out there in the street and you say some people are selling their tickets, and so
like scalping or whatever, but not scalping,
yeah, whatever it was. Well, we got them for like $25 each or so. So Jeanette and I got to our first game, and it was like 95 degrees out there, and I was just sweating. And this, and we were facing the sun was hitting us direct on, and you know, but we weren't thinking about it. The gal asked who we bought the tickets from. She was sitting with us, because there's her husband's and her son's, I think. And she asked if he can get us anything. I thought, well, that's nice. So she went to get us some drinks. She comes back. She not only has drinks, but she had bought me that hat that I thought, there's your first question. Why are you a Husker fan? It's because of the Husker, the people. And that's what's behind Husker Stories. There's a ton of great stories out there. I mean, I'm already reading the ones that you and a few other people have put them up. Mm-hmm. They're funny. They're great stories. And I'm thinking, we're just beginning. There are tons of Husker fans. So everybody's got a story to tell. And they don't have to be really hard. So that's what this is about, is a chance to hear, to read, to see, and to interact with these stories, have a good laugh, have fun, and just enjoy Husker Nation. That's the idea.
That is, you know, it's huskerstories.com. And so over the last week or so, I've been going on to it and doing a few things with you. And you have a podcast section. So the Go Big Redcast has a part of that. And then there's these stories that you can add. And to your point, there's these different sections that you can do of stories. And there was one for romance. And I figured with my wife, I have my own story and you can read it in there. It's about how I proposed to her. I figured why not throw the first one out there and maybe get that started. But what I like about what you've done, it's not a static website. It's a living, breathing, people can submit things to it and let's add to it. And it's on the website world. It's what I'm trying to do with the fan forum world. Over time, right now, I think Chaz, you're number 12 or 13 or 14. I can't remember how many fan forums I've done, but when I look down the road and I can see 80 of them and 100 of them done, and it's this whole collection, and it's people of all ages and men, women, and black, white, it doesn't, everything. It's everything that is Husker Nation. We're not one person, or when people say Husker Nation, think this. I'm like, how can you even say that? Husker Nation's hundreds of thousands, millions of people, right? And to your point, we all have a story. And so what I want to do on the fan forum is do my part to tell some of those stories. And what I love about Husker Stories, the website, is it gives chance for people to go there and give you their stories too. So I think it's an awesome thing. It's just starting and it's already a fun site. I was clicking around it today. And I mean, people haven't even had a chance really to start, you know, exploring it. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a really cool site to keep going back to over time as you see more and more things. And I should also note, there's a little bit of something for everyone. I know a lot. I'm kind of an X's and O's guy, and we have plenty of X's and O's fans. And there's going to be, Chaz is famous on Twitter for his video breakdowns of plays, of games, and there's videos already being put out there for that. So there's something for that Husker fan that wants to come to this site.
So let me share a couple things on that. First, this is new. I'm not a webmaster. I'm retired. I'm still learning all this stuff. But I do like the learning. But like, for instance, I'm still figuring out how some of this is all going to work. Let me give you an example. Like for instance, I really like what we've got started on the video clips. They look really cool, and I want them to look cool, but I've only got the first 5 clips of the Iowa game in. A lot more will come. As nice as it looks, there's no way for people to interact with each individual play.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we do the breakdowns, when we're doing on Twitter, I'm putting up a play and we have all the discussion on that play. I don't have that set up yet. I haven't quite figured out how I'm going to do that yet. But boy, mm-hmm. does it look nice the way it's set up. So maybe then I have one page here that's kind of the gallery of all the clips. And then I might have for maybe a link on the side or something, once I figure out how to do it, to do individual plays and then have discussions on that. So the reason I share this is I'm just a normal guy trying to do something, and this is going to be very there's a lot of learning, and so this is going to evolve. But what won't change is the heart and soul of it, which is the stories. The stories, you know, games become history and seasons, and we move on. But stories are just timeless. You know, the story you told in yours, that's from 20 years ago, 21 years ago, actually, I think.
Mm-hmm. And, yep. 2002, yep.
And I'm thinking, you know, those are timeless. Well, you start doing the math. How many Husker fans are there? How many of them have stories? How many are continuing to have stories? How many are passing those stories on? And we don't have a repository of where we can all be sharing and enjoying these short stories together. Well, now we do.
Well, let's get to your story here, Chaz. Yeah, and but before we do, I want to talk about a couple of the upcoming shows that we have and our sponsors as well. Number one is on Monday night at 8 p.m. So January 30th, 8 p.m. Central time. We'll have Stephen Sipple on. We've had Sip on in the past. So I think we're going to make this into a little bit of a mailbag show. So anybody, we want you watching live. We want you being a part of it. You can be submitting questions directly to Sip. And so that's how we kind of envision, I think, Monday night going. We'll have a little bit of format around it, but we really want to get the live people watching and having some questions there for Sip. And then 2 weeks from now, Tuesday, February 7th at 8 p.m., I have Troy Dumas on. So he's an all-conference linebacker, national champion from 1994, and he's a Husker fan. So he'll be on the forum with me. And we have lots more forums being planned here over the course of the offseason. I mean, lots. So this will be probably mostly a weekly thing at least, or maybe every other week. But I've got a lot of them getting planned here on the docket. I'm already kind of scheduled out to March and April. So very cool stuff there. As far as our sponsors, Alumni Hall, absolutely support these guys, Redcasters and Fan Formers. They have two Lincoln locations, downtown 1120 P Street, South Point Pavilions behind Barnes & Noble. You can also find them on the web at alumnihall.com. And like I said, support them. Next up, Pipeline Jerky. Support the Pipeline. All right, pipeline-jerky.com. You can get 10% off using Redcast at the checkout there. Smack and Smooch. I want to thank Shane and Laura there for the hat and for the schmock. That's awesome. I mean, I don't know that I always see the resemblance with Coach Rule that people say, but whatever, I'll take it. And they make great stuff. If you need stuff for party planning and all that, you know, you want shirts, you want koozies made, contact them. You can find them at Smack and Smooch, Facebook and Twitter. And then last but not least, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Use Redcast at checkout. You get 10% off. And the new Hail Varsity just came in today. I just got it in the mail. So Rules Road is the title there, the front page, and the best photos, the best graphics, everything you're going to find. Hail Varsity, absolutely go for it. So
you ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You've already answered question number one. So let's go to question number two here. What is your favorite Husker fan memory, Chaz?
I wondered how many would have the same one. There's a couple different ones, but if it comes to actual the moment, it might be the 95 team in the Fiesta Bowl. Just curb stomping poor old Florida. I don't want to talk too bad on them, but it was kind of funny. Just, you know, it's even funnier sometimes watching it now, watching the replay. When you see Steve Spurrier, you don't want to, and it's the end of the half, and the announcer says, "Well, what do you do now?" He says, "Man, we're just getting curb stomped." What did he say? He said something like, "Well, we're just getting our tails kicked or something, brother." And I'm just laughing and laughing and laughing. There are so many from start to finish. Well, the first quarter was a little bit funny on that. Mm-hmm. Not so great. But there are so many highlights in that game that made that an experience that was just, you know, a dream. Because, you know, coming into it, both teams are undefeated, and there is a lot of talk about how this fun and gun Florida team was, you know, Nebraska had never faced a team that could throw it like them. And
Corso had them winning it. Corso said we weren't going to be able to keep up with them on grass.
Yeah. So that is right up there. There's another one that goes, but it's hard to not also think about back to the early years and Bob Devaney. I was around. Now, the problem is I don't have the best memory. So I don't remember all the details. And all I remember is the overall feeling of how excited we were, because we weren't that far removed from Lincoln back in those days. And you know, our whole family, we all still, for the most part, a lot of us still lived and stayed close together in that. So winning that first national championship and That would be right up there.
So like 1970 beating LSU in the Orange Bowl and winning that first 170.
Yeah. It's the feeling of pride, and it was a different day and a different game back then. But there's a sort of the good old days deal with that. So in terms of my favorite Husker memory, those come. In terms of seeing a game live, I kind of had to go between two. I ended up picking the Fresno State game.
Mm-hmm.
Now I went to that one. Brian, my son Brian, he and I went to that, and that memorable for a couple different reasons. But I still remember DeMorney Pearsonell returning a punt back. Nebraska just jumped out right away to a 7-0 lead. I think DeMorney Pearsonell returned the punt back 70 some yards. I think that made it 14-0. And it was just right out of the gate. It was hot as all get out. It was like 100 degrees at night. Mm-hmm. At night.
Yeah, it was a late game out there.
And it was a late game, yeah. And it was on CBS. I was on TV. I remember my brother called me and said, hey, I just saw you and your son on TV. And but it was hot that night. But that was really a lot of fun because that was my first Husker game that I had seen live. Since that Idaho Vandal game that I saw, which was my first Husker game. I've only seen a few.
So that would have been, Idaho would have been like, what, 2010 or 11, I think?
I think so. I think it was around 2010, yeah.
And yeah. And that Fresno game was really interesting because that was a late night game. It was, for us on watching it on TV, there was a game prior to it that was running late, overtime, something. So by the time it actually switched over, and you're right, it was like CBS Sportsnet, that channel, since it was a Fresno their conference game. So they played them on that channel. And by the time it flipped over to it, we were already up like 14-0. It was like, what the heck? That's better than being down 14-0, but still it was like, what the heck happened? And you feel like you're trying to catch up.
Yeah, it was like 5 minutes into the game, and all of a sudden, and I thought, now this is what I want to see. This is what I feel. Yeah, it was really fun. The other one that rivaled that, though, and it was the other game that Brian and I both went to, was the UCLA game.
Mm-hmm.
The problem there is we lost. But when Taylor Martinez took off from the 6-yard line, and we were in that end of the end zone, so if you have the whole field – we were right about here, and here's the end zone down here, and then all the way there is where he ran. So we saw him take off from close, and then he was getting smaller and smaller and smaller. But they weren't catching up to him. That was pretty exciting.
Mm.
So in terms of personal experiences, those are the ones that
those are great memories. And what I think is interesting is how small Husker Nation is. I mean, it's big, but at the same time, it's small. You always know somebody that knows someone or was somewhere. Well, Redcast Dave was right out there in the Rose Bowl with you in that game. So
is that right?
That was, that's one of the many that he's been to on the road. He has not had the best luck on road games. He has not seen a road victory for Nebraska since 1995 when he went with me to the Colorado game out there in Boulder. And so he's been to a number of them, and a number of them with me that we've lost since that. And so many of them are close and heartbreaking ones, but I'll never be the guy that says, hey, it's my fault. You know, they're losing because I'm showing up. I'm going to stop going. I don't buy that. Well, we just gotta get over that. So, well, let's move to question three here. And that is, who are your all time favorite Huskers, Chaz?
Yeah. Well, now we're getting into the tough ones. And has this been tough for everybody else? Which ones are the toughest ones for everybody else?
Well, the last two that we've had on Shelby and Jim in Minnesota, both of them had said the exact same player for all-time Huskers, and they really only said one guy. But I think I had Paul Jacobson, Husker Tapes guy that creates all those tapes and posts them. He went through like 40 dudes. So, I mean, it's kind of been all in between. But you know, and I've had some people go through eras. So, my favorite of the 70s are this, and my favorite of the 80s are this. So, it kind of depends on the specific background and experience of each person.
Of the four questions, is there one that people have had more struggle, or it's been tougher than anybody else, than any other of the four? Or has it been
definitely not why are you a Husker fan? Everyone knows their answer right away for that.
Yeah, that's easy.
Favorite Husker fan memory, they might you know, have one or two that they kind of toss in between. I think the all-time one is probably tough because you're having to kind of just say it out loud, and you probably have so many, and you don't want to leave someone out. But
well, I'll tell you what I came up with. And part of the reason this is hardware for me is because it's such a team sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always kind of I have never gone so much with the most valuable player or the super. I'll tell you a few that come to mind. Most recent has to be Ndamukong Suh. Mm-hmm. First of all, he came from Portland, which is where Jeanette and I are from. Jeanette was born and raised there in Portland, and so it's kind of fun to have a Portland kid come to Nebraska and then turned out to be, you know, the player he was.
Oh yeah.
And watching what he could do and how he destroyed Texas, and you know, that's pretty endearing to any Husker fan, I think. So another one from a far different era, and this again is, I don't have the clearest memory, but boy, Rich Glover. Back in the day, that guy, Rich Glover, was the Ndamukong Suh of his day. He was just, all I remember is he could throw people around, and he was so fast and strong. He could be so dominant. And
I don't know if you know, if you saw this, Chaz, Rob Zadiska last week, he was posting some, like, he even had a Twitter poll that was who was more dominant, Suh or Rich Glover. And whether it's recency bias or Suh is amazing. I actually clicked on Suh. I said Suh, in my opinion, between the two was more dominant. But that being said, Glover is unbelievable. He finished third in the 1972 Heisman, third behind only Pruitt and, of course, Johnny Rogers. He had 22 tackles in the game of the century going up against an All-American center, Berhaney from Oklahoma. He wasn't going up against Liver. You know, he might be as decorated and dominant. Was
it Tom Berhaney?
Tom Berhaney. They're All-American center.
For memory. I there can't remember go. Anything else, but I remember Tom Berhaney. How
about that? And so Glover, and I think it is one of those things. Hey, that was 50 years ago. We kind of forget those things. And as Husker fans doing podcasts, doing a website like Husker Stories, I think it's part of our job to make sure that we keep talking about guys like Rich Glover, that they don't get lost in the history. And that, I learned something when Rob Zaska mentioned that he was third in Heisman. I didn't realize that. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. You know, and that's one of the things that we talk about Suh. You know, look at this guy. He finished, you know, in the top five of the Heisman. You know, that's unheard of for a D lineman. Well, Glover did it too.
The other part is that comes for me is in terms of picking a play. Who do you pick for the pipeline? See, I love the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
I just love watching the orchestration of those offensive linemen and you know, the punch and the power and the technique and all this stuff. I don't understand it, but it sure is fun to watch. And particularly when it just dominates like that. You can see how you can put that together along with the Florida game and just watching them just mow through them. Well, that's why that's such a dream game for me. But who do you pick a favorite player on the offensive line? I suppose you could say Dave Remington. But I don't have a memory of Dave Remington so much per se. Now I do remember, who is it that did was he the one who did the fumble Ruski?
Well, Dean Steinkuller did it in the 80s Orange Bowl. The last fumble Ruski, I believe, that was ever done, because now it's it's an illegal play. But in like 92, I think against 91 or 92 against Colorado, Will Shields ran it. I think that's the last one we ever did. But to your point, you know, the history of Nebraska football on the pipeline, we still have the most Outland awards. We still have the most All-Americans of any team in the history of college football on the offensive line. And that's such a credit to what went on during the Tenneper years, considering that we have gone 20 years now without, you know, and other teams have had a chance to catch up, but that's how dominant we were. And when I think of the pipeline, I can't help but think of 94. To me, that's always the season. I mentioned Zaska earlier at left tackle, Joel Wilkes at left guard, Aaron Graham at center, Brendan Stye at right guard, Zach Wiegert at right tackle. He wins the Outland. Stye and Wiegert both earn All-American. We have two All-Americans in 1 year on the line, and that's only happened like four or five times in the history of college football where one team could claim that, and a couple of them have been Alabama teams of recent. But that's the only one that we ever had, and that's not to say we didn't have other amazing lines. You go back to 1982, and there you have Remington and Steinkuhler on the same line. That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where I stumble a little on the favorite player, because there's some tremendous talent. I mentioned DeMorney Pearson-El kicking, doing punt returns, and but the thing is that for the most part, everything's so, a great player has to have a great offensive line to run through or to protect him if he's passing or whatever. So,
well, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned never be afraid to look foolish in the pursuit of learning. Let me see if I can learn here from you on this. We asked that question, who are your all-time favorite Huskers? Do you think it would be better if we maybe amended that a little bit? Who's your all-time favorite Huskers or favorite team? And the reason I asked that is I posted a thing on Twitter about a week ago, and it listed the 10, at that time, the 10 transfers that are coming here from the transfer portal. Now we've added another one since. But and I was just like, you know, who are you most excited to see? And a number of responses, Twitter, Facebook, a number of the responses were not one person. It's all of them. It's the team. It's not focusing on one person. And I get it. I'm all about that too. You know, I'm team first, and there I am asking the question like it's an individual. So for this question, number three, should it be who are your all-time favorite Huskers, or should it be more, you know, Huskers and team?
Well, I think it's different people. Some people can really enjoy having the, you know, being able to pick, you know, like Tommy Frazier's an easy pick, Eric Crouch, Johnny Rogers. You know, Johnny Rogers was, it's hard not to pick Johnny Rogers if I had to actually pick a favorite player, because he was so electric in his time. He was just, what a player. I mean, he was just an amazing player. So it's kind of fun to pick the favorite player as well. But favorite team's a good question, you know. That's
I'll put you on the spot, Chaz. Do you have a favorite team? You haven't had any chance to think of this, so.
Yeah, I haven't. I'll probably end up going with that 95 team, simply because they were so dominant all year long. The 97 team, I loved the way they came back in the second half and just destroyed Tennessee. And I still remember when it was close at half, they're saying, I don't know if we can vote for him. And I remember Lou Holtz at the halftime says, you just wait. This Nebraska, these guys, they can wear you down. And he was prophetic in that game. But so probably the 95 team, the 94 team, you know, got Thomas' first championship. You know, in some ways, they didn't win it, but that 83 team was an amazing team. You know what? I think maybe the 83 team was my favorite team.
Chaz, that's my first year, my first season of memories. And I mean, literally my first game is the kickoff classic, the inaugural kickoff classic, Nebraska, Penn State, 44-6. We get our revenge against Penn State from 82, which at that time I didn't even know what that meant. Because I wasn't paying attention in 82, but I remember every single game from 83, the 84-13 massacre at Minnesota, the 14-10 nail biter against Oklahoma State, the 28-21 victory, a third straight victory over Oklahoma in Norman, and then the 31-30 2-point conversion loss with the fumble Ruski, with just everything about it, a heartbreaker. My mom, maybe this is a story I'll put in Husker Stories at some point, but my mom tells the story. I'm in first grade, and the teacher calls her
from school. I'm crying at school. And she's like, do you have any idea what's wrong? And I guess I must've been telling him that, you know, the Huskers lost. And so
get that story in. Cause not everybody's good. There's still some people, there's probably two or three Husker fans in the country that still aren't tuned into this. So make sure and get that, be sure and get that in. Yeah. Those stories are, those are gold. They're priceless.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Well, here, I got something that's priceless. Let's get to question four, because I really want to, we can keep talking about everything, but this is a one I really want to get in with you because I think it's just fun. How do you think the Huskers will do this year? And this question, it revolves around a lot of things. It's how, you know, what do you think of the status of the program right now, the coaching changes, the portal stuff, you know, off-season development. How did the last season end beating Iowa? The plays that you're starting to post there to HuskerStories.com. Make sure you go there, Redcasters and Fanformers. So, you know, you kind of cumulatively put all that together. How do you think that they're going to do here over the next month, over the next 6 months, over the next year?
Well, these are, if you know my style in Twitter, if you know my style, typically these are, I'm better at at asking that question than answering it. Okay. You know, every year people say, well, how do you think they're going to do next year? Or what's your prediction? Remember they come up with every August, what's your score? Win, loss, and the prediction. I never do those because I'm always wrong. And it's just so unpredictable. Well, name for me a more unpredictable season than this one. So that's a tough question. Here's what I can do. I can say that one or the other. On one hand, historically, Matt Rhule's teams when he first seasons have not been good.
Mm-hmm.
When he takes over, in fact, they can sometimes be even worse than the last season from the previous coach that he replaced. So he's not necessarily into quick fixes. He'll invest more if takes his lumps that first year as part of the investment for that. In fact, even said here today or yesterday or whatever, give me 3 years. And, you know, just give me some time to work on this.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's possible. I wouldn't be blown apart. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Huskers really struggle and be very disappointing for a lot of teams, for a lot of people. Plus, that wouldn't surprise me. On the other hand, what are you doing? It's my dog. He's got a new puppy.
Hey, puppy.
Kyoto. So, on the other hand, the portal and everything's different now. You know, when you're rebuilding, it really can happen much more quickly. And in either case, we don't know what kind of development's going to take place, the chemistry that's going to evolve. I like what I'm seeing. I'm a little surprised at how much I'm liking and how good it's looking. I was okay with the hire. I had some reservations because I wanted some substance. I didn't want just talk. And he's really effective as a speaker, as a seminar leader, as a, you know, you get him in front of a group, he's a natural. So I was a little concerned that he might be more style than substance, but you look at what he's done on the job. First of all, he's a hard worker. The biggest thing I'm seeing is he's being real with the people. I like his authenticity. He's also working crazy hard. He's getting results. They needed some talent. They lost some. They're getting some great talent. And I like the way and what people are saying. So in terms of how I think they're going to do, if I had to guess, I think they're going to be better than last year. I could see them going to a bowl game. If I had to guess right now, I'd say they're going to at least go to a bowl game. Now, that goes against his history, which is first year struggle, then second year much better, than third year boom, or even second year boom. That goes against his pattern. But it's not, you know, college football landscape has changed in that time. The other thing that's like is the fact that he's also got a history of rebuilding. He's gone into situations that in any of those cases, none of those were easy situations he went into.
That's the thing. Each situation it was different. And to your point there, there are mechanisms at his fingertips today that weren't present when he was at Temple or when he was at Baylor, namely NIL, namely the transfer portal, some things that he kind of mentioned that can help speed this up in terms of the process. But speeding it up should never mean there's no shortcuts. Let's put it that way. To build this thing right, it's got to be done the right way. And that doesn't always mean going, you know, 10-0 or 10-2 in year one. He mentioned on that Bussing with the Boys podcast, and obviously if you haven't seen that yet, Redcasters, that was amazing with that,
obviously
with Will Compton.
I saw a little clip of it, and it looks really, really good.
And he, you know, specifically said he doesn't see this being a slow burn, you know, meaning, I mean, he thinks that you know, they can start to have some success. And I think he feels that it's important to show some success early on. Now, what does that look like? What I'm using all offseason, the term I'm going to say, my little moniker is, it's the race to six. Basically it's a bowl game, right? And so, but I never put ceilings on the team. So I'm not saying we're going to go 6-6. I'm just saying it's the race to six. And we might get there in 6 weeks, and it might be week 12 with Iowa here, and we're 5-6, and we need to win it to get to the bowl game. But it's the race to six. How do we get to six? If it's week 8, we're 6-2, awesome. Let's reevaluate. Let's get to 8 wins. Let's get to 9 wins, right? You know, but you kind of take it step by step. But before you even get to all that talk, you know, he even mentioned that on the bus with those guys, that, you know, he hears it a little bit, you know, some of the players, hey, you know, let's get to a bowl game and all that. And he's like, hey, why don't you guys get to the weight room first? Let's worry about that. You know, this is a day by day. It's the approach. But I love the mixture. I mean, we're up to 98 guys, I think, is the list I have here right now. And 98 scout. Yeah. And that's made up of 37 guys that he's brought in since he's got here. Now, a number of those guys were Frost guys that he continued to recruit and secured and got here. He also has kept a lot of players. We haven't had a major defection of players, which is rare, considering when you have a coaching change, and you have all the change that's gone on in North Stadium. I mean, there's basically one coach, Rayola, back, and just a few support people. What that tells me is he's treating people, and these coaches are treating people right. You know, I've heard the running backs coach talking about the running backs there, and Bethard, and him saying how these guys, you know, he loves those guys that he has in the room. They're his guys. I've heard the defensive backs coach say the same thing about the DBs, that my door is open. And, you know, for the running backs, for what it's worth, they haven't gone out and hit the portal for anybody. They like the players they have in there. They kept them. I think at the end of last season, everyone's like, oh, Grant's gone, AJ Allen's gone. Well, they're here.
Yeah.
And so I think it gives you at least a glimpse that they must be treating people right. They're not coming into the room and saying, get the heck out of here, get into the portal, I need my people, leave. We've seen that done by other coaches. I'm not naming names, but we've seen other. That's not unheard of for coaches to do when they take over a place. So that's refreshing, and at least it's a sign that they're doing something right.
I like there's a lot of things that I like to say. One thing that I saw, I've been so tied up trying to get this site ready that I haven't stayed in touch as much as I'd like to. But one thing I liked, I saw a tweet that showed that he had visited, it was from a special education teacher, that he was in a school, and I don't know if he saw the kid or the parent or whatever. I thought, you know, there's no recruits that he's going to get from a special ed teacher or special ed kids. That means he didn't have to do that. And those, it's little things a lot of times that, you know, those little things can make, can reveal a lot. And maybe not just one, but when you start adding them all up, you add what people are saying, how coaches are, high school coaches are talking about them, and how parents, the words that you're getting for how the recruits are talking about, how when he goes around these all across the state of Nebraska, there's kind of a accumulation of evidence that suggests this guy's very human. And I think that's a good thing for Nebraska. And that, because it comes back to where I started at the very beginning of this, is that the reason I'm a Husker fan is the people. It's the people, the kindness, the humanity. I get the feeling he's a genuinely good guy. He's going to be a guy that's easy to root for. A genuinely good guy, and he's obviously done some turnarounds, so we may have something here. And certainly reason to be hopeful. Certainly reason to be hopeful. Now, there's tons of unknowns, and that's a whole nother show. You know, what are what are the unknowns going into 2023?
That'd be a good. That's a good question for Sipple on Monday night, right? I mean, that's a there's
your whole show.
Yeah, you know? there's no shortage of questions. And that's good for the realist out there. I think there's a lot of reasons for optimism too, and that's good for the optimists. And I think a lot of the fans that I talk to and where I consider myself, and I think where I would throw you in this, is most people I talk to have a little bit of both of that in them. They have realism of understanding where we're at, but there's also this optimism that, you know, when someone sits there and tells me, oh, it's never going to come back, oh, our best days are behind us, and, oh, you know, give me a break. Let's do things right. And if you do them right and you do them long enough right for the, for a long enough time, you're going to be okay. You're going to, good things usually result when you do that. And it's most of the times.
That way anyway.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't want a fan like that anyways.
Yeah. Life is short. It's just too short to stay negative, to look at the glass half empty and to find things. It just is too short. And believe me, you know, this gray is getting grayer. And the more years I'm around, the more I start to say, you know, you realize it does go by faster than you realize. And it's just too short to waste your time with naysayers or people who have to win an argument or whatever. You know, it's too short. Let's enjoy life. See the good. This is my dad. Something I haven't really told you, you don't even know about this. Husker Stories is not the only thing I'm working on. Okay. I also am working on, if it's clearly not even close to ready. I also created Chaz Stories.
Oh, cool.
Chaz Stories is something that once I get Husker Stories and stuff going so that we got a big staff and we got people that can really run it, I'm going to be working on more on Chaz Stories as well. You know, Twitter, I would sometimes have that better side of humanity post of the day. Better side of humanity post of the day. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to have some Chaz stories that kind of emphasize all the positivity. You know, there's a lot of positive there and a lot of positive life. My dad was really the one who most shaped me this way. My dad was a pastor. And he always talked about, he used to say, always look for the seed of the equivalent benefit. Always look for the good side of things. He quoted Napoleon Hill, the guy who wrote Think and Grow Rich and a lot of those. In everything, give thanks in all circumstances. I have learned to be content in all circumstances. Just always seeing the good. You look for the good in people. You shrug your shoulders and smile, and, you know, at the bad and say, well, yeah, but look at these good, the good side. And I got 14 hours before he died in 2010 or something or other, 2009. I got 14 hours of video of my dad telling stories. You want to talk about stories? So that's something else I got. I'm going to be, when I get a window, I'm going to get all, and you're going to hear a lot of positive stories from that too.
You know, one of the things I like so much about you, Chaz, and I mean, it, I've gravitated to you since the first day I started interacting with you on Twitter years back. A week ago, I had Jim in Minnesota on, and I kind of labeled him the hardest working man in Husker Twitter. He reads everything. He listens to everything. The guy's
amazing, isn't he?
He doesn't miss anything. So I've given him that label, and I've even seen him kind of, some people have called him that now on Twitter, and good. Well, I'm going to give you a label here. I think you're the first gentleman of Husker Twitter. I mean that sincerely. When the cesspool, and I've heard that about Twitter, you know, it's the cesspool of Twitter. When things get bad, when the Huskers lose and it just gets really, you know, gets dark at some spots. Number one, we always try to tell Redcasters, suit, SOOT, our public service announcement, stay off of Twitter, maybe for 12 hours, 24 hours, whatever it is. But when I come back onto it, I gravitate to people like you. Because it's easy to get down into the negative stuff and you start, you know, getting in the weeds of all that. But I start to kind of come out of that funk when I know that there's like-minded people and people that can try to take a positive. This is where I think you're the perfect example of a realist slash optimist, but also a teacher, which is what you were for your career. And you never stopped being a teacher. I love it when you break down video of a player, and you can be critical, or you can at least ask the question. You can say, you know, did we make a mistake on this play? But it's not attacking the player. It's not attacking the person. It might be attacking what was the issue. How does this player get better? How do we get better? How do we learn from this? I think that's a lot better way. That's a coachable way of doing something versus just, wow, you know, hey, buddy, you stink. You need to be gone. You know, let's tag that player and say how bad he is, and I'm sure that will make him better.
Yeah. Well, that's the teacher. That is teaching. And with my kids, when I was teaching, a lot of times, in fact, one of the things I tell them, I said, you know, anybody can come up with the right answer. Good answers are a dime a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
Show me a good question. I would give, you know, we have the rewards. I would give extra tickets, extra rewards for good questions, and I'd highlight them. And the idea is that it's about learning. Really, learning is really the key. You never stop learning, and stay curious. Hey, listen, if I can get something across to everybody that's on tonight, stay curious. Don't never quit. Never think that you've learned it all or that it's boring. Stay curious. Learn something new. Go to Husker Stories and listen and get to meet a lot of wonderful people. Learn. It broadens your horizons, broaden your stories. You learn more things about more people. That's, you know, if you can stay curious, a curious person is going to love Husker Stories. Because they're going to learn new things. They're going to learn and meet new people. They're going to find out just how great this Husker fan base really is. But stay curious. Anyway, that's kind of what's my teaching style. That when a player makes a mistake, that's not condemnation. That says, okay, in fact, when we break down plays, the reason we're breaking them down is to say, okay, so this is why, you know, that's hard. What they're trying to do, how do they do that? How are they supposed to, you know, alignment? They've got to keep their head down, but they've got to keep leverage. I understand leverage, and they didn't win leverage there, but, you know, they also have to remember to get their weight shifted right. And if they get going too fast, if they got a quicker step, well, now they've pushed themselves. They've got all the strength in the world, but it's going against nothing because they're not fast enough. Is it better to be faster? Is it better to be quicker? Is it better to be stronger? All these things start to play together, and you realize this is pretty dynamic. It's not a simplistic say, oh, he's terrible. Well, no, maybe he was taught something a certain way. Maybe it's the way he's been trained. Maybe he's young. Give him time. You know, these young players, that's the fun of watching them grow, is watch them develop. I just wish they wouldn't develop and then go jump into the transfer portal, but... That's another issue.
Well, and you know that you have a level of respect on Twitter when you can ask these questions. And I've seen guys like Troy Dumas, who we'll have on in a couple of weeks, respond. I've seen, you know, the Damon Bennings and the Rob Zaskas and the former players. They'll take on your questions, and that shows a lot of the respect that they have for you. I want to show you this tweet too, because this is one I've actually held on. This is how long I've been meaning to have you on the show. This is from last summer when UCLA and USC joined the conference. I believe it was that day. And Huskers, the official Huskers account, says, "Husker Nation and Cali, how you do? How's your day going?" And then they go, "Someone check on Chaz in SoCal." I mean, that is to have the official Husker account single you out to say, "Someone check on them," you know, because the Big Ten now is, you know, is going into Southern California. I mean, how does that feel as an ambassador of Husker fans, one of the ambassadors of Husker fans on Twitter? I mean, that is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's fun. They have to save that for me sometime, because I never saved that. That's kind of fun to see. And, you know, one of my first thoughts was, you know, Californians for Nebraska really deserve the first jump on that. But it's really nice. It's really kind of the program to put that out. I had a good laugh over it. So,
Well, Chaz, this is exactly how I'd expect it to go. We're at the hour point and everything. I always allow my guests to have the final say and the parting shot. But just in general, this has been a lot of fun for me, because, like I said, we've had conversations on and off. The first time I ever had you on the podcast, when it was just audio only, and it was several years ago. And I learned a lot from this. You told me, "I want to, let's chat on the phone first. I don't just want to just go and do a podcast. You know, let's get to know each other."
Yeah.
And we can't, you know, because of distance, we can't just sit in front of each other. And like, I think we'd prefer to be doing this in the same room. I know it, but through technology, at least we get to do this. But for one night, you and I just sat up and chatted for probably an hour and a half, 2 hours on the phone the night before we were going to do our first podcast. And it just made me think, like, how powerful is Husker football? That, you know, again, generations are different. We are living in different time zones and different parts of the world. And yet the thing that brought us together is Husker football. It is Husker sports. It doesn't have to be a big divisive thing, which you see sometimes on Twitter. It Husker football somehow divides some people. I don't get that. I mean, at the end of the day, we all are behind the same program. We all want it to do great. I mean, if you don't, then it's hard to consider you a fan if you don't want to see it do well. And so it's the reason I love having you on. It's the reason I love doing the fan forum. And it's the reason that everyone watching this should go to Husker Stories after this and continue to go back, be a part of HuskerStories.com and what Chaz has put together, and add to it. Make that the biggest. I can't wait to see what that site looks like in 3 months, in 6 months, in a year, as stories get added.
Let me put add something. I need help. I need staff and all that too. But what I really want is I want to get some ideas. For instance, I've got ideas, but I don't know how to make them work. One of the things that I've long wanted to do was I want to have a place that celebrates and that really celebrates and provides a great forum for learning and teaching, learning, and enjoying volleyball. You know, we got an incredible volleyball program. I mean, we really should have, we need a place, we need a way, an accepted station, something that can allow us where we can really talk volleyball the way we talk football and teach and see and all this. But a lot of the ideas, Husker Stories, I'd like it to be yours. I'd really like it to be kind of like what I do, you know, so with the clips, I put it out there for people to talk about and then say, and then I get all the learning from it. But all I do is I just set the table. Well, I kind of like to think of Husker Stories as the same thing. All I'm doing is setting the table. You guys can make it what it's going to be. You can come up with ideas. Text me, drop me, hit the contact button. Hopefully it works. And, you know, and give me your ideas so we can shape this together, consistent with the culture that I want to be, which is positive, fun, happy. That's the direction I want us to take it. Scroll to the bottom of Husker Stories, the front page, and you'll get a sense of my vision for this. And if you want to be a part of that, if that sounds like what you want to be, boy, I can use the help because, you know, it's yours. That's what I really want you to know. It's yours.
That's great. Well, Chaz, this has been wonderful. I've enjoyed this so much. Do you have any parting shots for the people watching and listening here over the next few days?
Only that the one link I haven't got set up yet. I've told Jeanette every day, remind me, I want to get this up. I haven't got it up yet, but I will. And that is, I want to have a thank you / appreciation thread. How many people would you wish you could say thank you to in Husker Nation? The lady that got me the hat, I wish I could find her to say thank you. The fans who invite me to this, or how many Twitter followers, how many Twitter, like guys like Damon, he's just so good. And he really is kind in terms of interacting. And I learned so much from there's a lot of people I personally would like to thank. Find someone, and here's my dad's voice again, of being thankful and being grateful. Find people to say thank you to that. I hope you can help me find a way that we can do that on Husker Stories as well.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much, Chaz. And Redcasters, fan formers out there, if you like this, subscribe, hit the like button, you know, give us some feedback. We appreciate that as well. You know, share this with your friends and your neighbors and all the other Husker fans that you know. We want to keep telling stories like this as well. So thank you so much for watching. And just remember, you too could be the next one to join us on the forum.
Heard at Sports Network Production.